I want to talk for a moment about two opposing forces in human experience that seem very relevant to the times. Basically, these two forces are fear and hope. The thing about fear that distinguishes it is that it is very disabling. And the opposite is true of hope. Hope is enabling. Essentially, what I mean is that fear prevents movement. Fear is about holding on to what you have, staying where you are, to being afraid of change and afraid of the unknown. It, in a sense, represents a lack of trust, and in some ways becomes a kind of guiding force for many people. Hope allows you to let go of what is known and what is familiar, and to trust that the universe has, in a sense, more to offer. Many of us are divided in ourselves between fear and hope, and kind of move between the two polarities. The ideal of a spiritual life is that it allows you take the chance of letting go of your own fear, of your own doubt, of your own lack of trust, and investing in possibility, investing in this sense that there is something bigger, better, more fulfilling awaiting you as a person. The worst that can happen in investing in hope is that you're wrong and that you fall back into fear. You fall back into trying to hold on to whatever little strands of safety you have in your life. But growth and change and opportunity all come from this attitude that hope exists, that there is still something awaiting you. In some sense, for some people, hope arises by itself. It's a part of the DNA of many people. They're born with this idea that things will be fine or better. And many people are born with the DNA that says things are not going to get better, that life is untrustworthy, that there are always forces that want to attack you and to cause you harm. So if you feel the latter, then you build all these defenses to protect yourself from life and from the world. And if you feel the former, the possibility of hope, you tear down the defenses and you make yourself vulnerable to possibility. Being vulnerable to possibility is, in a sense, a difficult path, because you leave the sanctuary of your own safety. You leave the comfort of home. And you trust that the universe will support you in your journey wherever you may go. You trust that safety is within, that home is within, that what you are seeking in some ways is a greater manifestation, if you will, of what you already have. If hope does not arise through its own power, in a sense, it's possible to cultivate it. And you cultivate it in small, incremental steps. And Rudy said the key to those steps is asking, or wanting, or wishing. And his mantra really was, please help me to surrender. Or please help me to open. Or please help me to be happy. Or please help me to grow. These were all phrases that he brought to us regularly. And the reason he said we should ask for that is because he understood that at many moments in your life, the image of hope is overwhelmed by the experience of fear. And only by giving life to this idea of wish, this idea of reaching, this idea of asking, do you start to build a structure, or as he would call it, a muscle system, for rising above your own fear-based thought process and to arrive at something that is muscularly alive and reaching, that is working its way up. I know this is a very dualistic system. I know that in certain parts of our spiritual practice, up and down, good and bad, are all of the same ilk. That we're all in the same place, no matter whether we are exalted or whether we are depressed. We are all always in that space of just pure being. But many human beings are not aware of the non-dualistic reality of our existence. Many human beings truly suffer from their fear and from their lack of hope. It is important to know, when you go through that experience on your own, that you can begin with this tiny, simple practice of saying, please help me. Please help me to open. Please help me to be happy. Again, the same mantras, and what they become for you is a key tool in changing the reality of your own inner space. Because they begin this process of telling you that you have a capacity to transform yourself. You have a capacity to let go of the fear, and you have a capacity to begin to trust that life will serve you. And that if you make that effort on your own, something is there waiting to assist you. And trusting that, I guess, is really key to this process. But even if you don't trust it, try it. Just go inside and repeat to yourself, please help me. The spiritual journey is full of highs and lows. Until you arrive at a place of true awakening, you will find yourself in many cases in a place of great clarity and great awareness and great understanding, of deep humility, of deep openness, of profound joy. And just as inexplicably, you will sometimes find yourself in a place of not knowing, no clarity, unhappiness, confusion, and suffering. In a sense, both of these are not absolute states. They are transitory states, and they do not have any final reality. They simply arise and fall away the same way that storm clouds gather in the sky and dissipate. But you have to understand that if the storm clouds arise and you are outside, you take shelter. You grab a raincoat, you grab an umbrella, you run home, you jump onto the car, you do something to get out of the storm. But most people, when the storm clouds arise within themselves, don't have the clarity, don't even have the instinct to take shelter. That instinct is to find that space in yourself that makes that storm into something that you can transcend, that you can weather in some way. And the ability to do that is to take charge of your own radar, if you will, and say, a storm is gathering, I need to find shelter, or a storm is on top of me and I need to do something to stay dry, or I need to find a way to sit in the rain and sing in the rain. Whatever it is that you need to do, it's your job to find the mechanism, the thing in you that allows you to do something other than be afraid. And that is our calling as spiritual beings. It is to know that we are not called upon to be in a state of constant anything. Other than the truly awakened being, most of us are oscillating between one polarity and another in varying degrees. And when you find yourself doing that, simply be aware that is the human situation. I remember as a kid when I would be really happy, I go, why aren't I always happy? Why can't I just always be happy? Why is it happiness taken away from me? And I kept blaming myself, thinking, well, I'm doing something wrong, because my happiness would come and then it just wouldn't be there anymore. And I would go, I don't know how to live properly. I'm getting caught by something. And it took me into my adulthood to realize there is no way to hold on to happiness. It comes and it goes. There is no way to buy it. There is no way to own it. There is no way to get to a constant state. Life is a breathing in and out. It is an oscillation between extremes. And when you get to one extreme, you will find yourself hopeless, literally hopeless, living in a kind of fear. And you may at that point gravitate back to hopefulness. You may find yourself going back to hopefulness, or you may find yourself lingering for a very long time in this place of no hope. The difference between a spiritual being and a unspiritual being is that you have choice, and you can choose at that moment of hopelessness to say, no, I do not want to be in that space. I want to grow. I want to have hope. I want to be happy. I want to be fulfilled. And you begin this journey through your own choice back into this other side of your being. But again, when you get there, there's no way to sustain it, because nothing is sustainable in that way. All you can learn is that you have the capacity to shift it back from one to the other. And that is a very strong realization for people, that they have a capacity to shift and change their situation, their condition, their mindset. Somewhere along this journey, back and forth between hope and fear, with a kind of conscious observation of it, you begin to see what is going on. You begin to see your mind's movement between one extreme and another. You begin to see the ongoing in breathing and out breathing of your psyche. It goes from one place to the other continually. And as you begin to observe that, if you are really committed to this process, something happens inside you and it just opens up. And you realize that you are neither hopeful or fearful. You simply are. You simply are. And that hope and fear are movements of mind energy, movements of mood, movements of emotion that move through you. And that as you grow spiritually, what really changes is not that you're able to stay in one or get caught in the other, but that you are in observation of both. And as you step really deeply into yourself, you watch this drama of movement, and you realize this is the yin-yang of life. This is what life is. It is one to the other, back and forth, eternally. And you are either caught within that, or you're not. If you are caught within it, that's where this asking comes into play. Because once you start to realize that you have some capacity to not engage this drama by letting go of the fear, by opening to the hope, that simple muscular retreat from your obsession with either polarity allows you to feel what it means to be detached, what it means to relax those forces, and to step back. That stepping back is the true spiritual effort. That's where you really find yourself freeing yourself from the polarities of human existence. Deep surrender, deep awakening, is allowing hope and fear to do their dance without sucking you in to their polarity. On the other hand, deep awakening will not prevent you from or remove you from that dance. It will continue as long as you're alive, because life is that movement. And it's possible to enter into that movement and accept it for what it is, and to realize that that dance is the dance of life, and that you are in the dance. This idea to step out of the dance and to observe it is a spiritual prerogative. It is a glorious thing to be able to see what it is. But let me also assert that it's amazing to be in the dance. It is amazing to be pulled from one polarity to the other. It's called being alive. Being alive is this extraordinary experience of fear and hope. It is the experience of reaching into life and letting the emotions, the understandings, the confusions completely wash over you, and being part of that. I know our spiritual life is to step back from it and to awaken from it, and there's something glorious about doing that. But there's something glorious about being alive as well. I think what we are really seeking on some level is to be in it and of it and aware all at the same time. To live completely in the consciousness of your spiritual vastness, and to live within the confines of your very specific, complicated human reality. To me, that is almost better than enlightenment. And maybe it is enlightenment. To be alive and to allow life to be, to allow a life life to be what it is. This universe didn't produce life just for the fun of it. It didn't create these polarities just as a distraction. Life exists because some vast force wants it to exist. And it wants us to exist within it, and it also wants us to know what it is. To be awakened and yet involved, to be part of this universe, is an extraordinary condition. To live life is really what it's all about. And that's what we're doing. And in truth, unless you choose to do otherwise, you're in it for the whole duration. And the extraordinary thing about being in life is its richness, its intensity, its dazzling aspect, and also its awfulness, its terrible, fearsome nature. It's all part of the same thing. And so what we get when we come across a Rudi or a Nityananda or any of the great teachers who are on the planet is we get a perspective while we're there. We have a perspective while we're living this life. Religions give it to us as well, and for some people that serves beautifully. But in a much deeper, less ritualistic, and much more intimate sense, knowing the Creator within at the same time as you love the creation without seems to me to be the richness and the fullness of the human experience. So it's not to run from life by becoming awakened into the fact that it's all an illusion. And it's not to live in the illusion and not to know the truth. It's to engage both with a depth of appreciation and awareness that is the true heart, I think, of spiritual practice. Any questions? George?
A revelation I had when I was like 18, 19 years old, I was in the Navy. And a ship which was a tanker, which was half full of oil, used to refuel aircraft carriers. And we're in the middle of a hurricane, and I was signaling at the top of the ship, and the waves were coming over the signal pushfully. And I was terrified, as everybody else was on the ship, because we felt like a little stick in this huge, incredible. And eventually, I stopped being afraid, because I realized there's nothing I can do. I have no control over the situation. And sort of to enjoy the beauty of this incredible, you know, force of nature. You know. I guess I just stepped back out of myself and realized this is happening, but there's nothing that we can control.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to come to in my own practice.
It lasted about 2 days.
No, of course, but who would give it up? Who would give up life when you can know that? To know that is such a gift, and to live the experience of it. And the thing I can never seem to get over is how much we love life. I can't get over that. You know, as much as we spiritually are trying to transcend it, we love it. And to deny the love of it on any level is, I think, problematic. And, you know, I look at so many people retreating from the world in order to not be caught by the world. And I really feel that's fine. But in my sense of where I'm at this moment, entering the world is as important to know the world as to retreat from it, to engage it completely. I mean, we're all in our own private dance with this extraordinary thing. And every one of us is given moments, and your moment on that ship is a kind of lifelong understanding that at some point in the midst of terror, something transforms and opens you up to a greater knowledge. That was my experience of being in the hospital this year when I was at the edge of pain and really realizing there was nothing I could do about it. The exact same thing came to me. There's some incredible peace at that moment when you realize you're in it, you're of it, and yet there's nothing, you'd have no control within it. It is in control, and it is truly in control. And there's something very important about arriving at that, and my guess is we all arrive at that at some point along the way. I just watched this wonderful Ken Burns documentary on World War II and was aware of the incredible transforming power of that horrible, horrible effort that people went into in that war, what they went through, and how hard it was when they came back into the world of the day-to-day. They had known something so vast, so powerful, so overwhelming, and then they had to come back and, you know, worry about, you know, paying the bills and all the little stuff. And it was very hard to fit back into that sort of limited little package. And I don't think any of these guys, as horrible as it was, would have given it up. It would give up the knowledge they gained from that. Exactly. And I really think our life does not offer much initiation anymore. All cultures used to have initiation, which is usually a kind of suffering or a pain of taking people into some extremity that would teach them about life and awaken them to something. We don't have that anymore. And our culture, it's kind of catch as catch can. The initiations of your life are whatever initiation you can discover. But I think for many people, a battlefield experience is initiatory. And I think there are lots of other forms of it, but that's one of the great ones. And I think it's one of the reasons this horrific thing exists on the planet, because it is the awakening to the incredible nature of living. Facing death is what makes you realize life. And if you don't face it in some profound way, you don't get it. And then you live this life in a state of dream. And it's like you live the entire life without ever being aware of what it is you're in. And that's the thing about spiritual life. It's to tell you, wake up now. Don't leave life. Be awake in life. And that's what we're here for, to really take it on. And whatever episodes we need to get there are worth it. Anyone else? Well, thank you guys again for this weekly immersion in whatever this is we do. It's hard to describe on some level what we do. But I'm glad we do it. I'm glad we are this kind of intimate family of people who just sit together and connect to some kind of simple being, because it seems to be so instructive and so important in how we spend our days. Thank you.